Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 13, starting at verse number 1. Amen. Lord, help us. Praise God. I'd like to preach to you here. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat on the whole multitude. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let him hear the words of the Lord. Praise God. If the Lord will help us tonight, I'd like to preach to us a little bit. Brother Tommy preached on sowing this morning. You'll reap what you sow. I already had this printed off last night. A little bit different. Amen. Scenario here, but I'd like to preach on, amen, the sower. Hallelujah. Amen. In this parable, the sower is a farmer who is broadcasting his seed into the fields. According to Jesus, his interpretation, amen, of this parable, the sower sows the word of God. Who is the sower? Amen. The sower is the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And the sower is his servant. We are servants. We're right. Preachers. We're workmen. Amen. Unto him. Praise God. And we are that one that is sowing the seed. Amen. Sowing the gospel. What are we sowing? Amen. The word of God is the seed. The sower pictured in the parable here was a reference to Jesus, and by extension to all those who preach his word. Amen. And what is the sower's intention? As this farmer casts the seed into the field, he does so with hope that some will fall upon good ground. Amen.
Right.
He sows because he ultimately desires a harvest. He cast his seed with the expectation that one of these days I'm going to get more than what I put in. Hallelujah. Yes. The sower has one goal, to get his seed into the ground so that the harvest can come. Amen. It is sown into the field of the world with the prayer that it will fall upon good hearts. Amen. Take root and grow up to produce much fruit for the glory of God. There are hearts, amen, right here in this room today that receive the seed of the gospel at one time in your life, and you are who you are right now because you accepted that good seed that the sower sowed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I thank God that I accepted that good seed of the word of God. Amen. When it was sowed unto me, I was so innocent. Brother Anthony, amen. I was like you when I first got saved. I was willing to give up anything. Amen. It didn't matter, and I gave up a lot of stuff. I gave up a lot of stuff I probably didn't really have to, but I wanted to get closer to the Lord. Amen. This farmer must give something, amen, away before he can ever receive anything back in his return again. He takes the precious seed that he saved from the last harvest, and he casts it into the soil, hoping that it will produce a great harvest. Amen. Great God, this seed is all that the farmer has, and it's all that he has to give. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that Jesus gave it all? Amen. Thank God. Amen. Jesus gave his all so that there might be a gospel seed to cast into the soil. He died upon the cross, and he rose again the third day. Amen. Literally giving his all, knowing that some some seed would fall upon stony ground. Some seed would fall upon the thorny ground. But thank God some of it would fall upon good ground. Hey God, let me tell you something. Everybody that hears the gospel is not going to be saved. It gets us tore up sometimes and we feel like we're failures. How can I get out and witness? It seems like a lot of people I talk to, they don't accept it. Amen. Jesus said that all would not accept it. Amen. It fell on hard ground, they didn't accept it. Some fell on the stony ground, they didn't accept it. Amen. But all, thank God, some of it falls on the good ground. Amen. And they will accept the gospel. Amen. The message we preach at this church is a message about a free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. How can we be saved? I tell you how you can be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Amen. I don't care how you're baptized. You can go down a wet sinner. Amen. A dry sinner and come up a wet one. Amen. Some doctrines specify how you have to be saved. You can't be saved unless you're baptized. Amen. In a certain name. That's a bunch of hogwash. Amen. You can't be saved unless you do this. You can't be saved unless you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't be saved. I mean, there's all kinds of lists of things that people add to this gospel plan. I come to tell you tonight, the only thing that has to happen is that seed has to fall upon some good ground, upon a tender heart. Amen. And you accept that, and you fall in an altar of prayer and say, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sin? And the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our heart, and it takes an old wretched black heart and it washes it in red blood and makes us white as snow. The blood plus nothing is the way to salvation. Thank God. However, while salvation is very free, it is certainly not cheap. Amen. It cost, amen, the glory of heaven. It cost the very jewel, amen, in heaven. Amen. His very life. That blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. And he gave it all, and he left the splendors of glory, Brother Chuck, and it came down to this old world. Amen. And for 33 and a half years, he gave it all. I said, for 33 and a half years, he sold everything he had into the ground. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They blasphemed him. But one day, amen, they nailed him to a cross. That's what the devil thought he wanted. They nailed him to a cross. They stretched him wide and they hung him high. And the devil thought, I've got him right where I want him. But oh, let me tell you something. Amen. And great God, when it began to get dark that day, and lightning began to flash, and darkness came across the earth, the devil realized right then this was the greatest mistake that he had ever made. The blood of Jesus Christ had been applied to the mercy seat. The veil of the temple had been rent in twain from the top to the bottom. We no longer, Brother Daniel, had to have a priest. We no longer had to have a burnt offering or a wave offering or a sacrifice. We could go straight to the temple, amen, and call to a merciful God and be saved. Hey, I come to tell you tonight, thank God for the seed of the gospel. It's a precious seed that fell upon my heart one day, and I don't ever want to take it for granted. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Tommy, give me Luke real quick.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 8, verse number 11. Luke chapter 8, verse number 11 tells us about the treasure of this seed. Tell us what it says.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they to hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts.
Woo!
Lest they should believe and be saved.
Amen. The devil wants to take away the word.
Yeah.
He wants to take away the seed.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to get too simplistically minded here. But Brother Daniel, you go down to the farmhouse. Amen. And buy your seed, your beans and corn, and throw it in the ground. Amen. A lot of times nowadays they treat that with a certain treatment so the birds don't come and pick your seed out of the ground and plow with your crop. Amen. Oh, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take the word of God out of your heart and cause you not to believe it. Amen. Hey, God. But oh, I come to tell you tonight, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked into this world with a treasure. He came to give men the gospel of grace. And when Jesus cast that seed of the gospel into the shifting winds of this world, he did so with the knowledge that it would accomplish, amen, his purpose completely. Isaiah said, "Thy word shall not return void." Thank God. I know all the world is not going to be saved. I know I've got stacks of messages down there on my shelves, Brother Tom, in that little study I have upstairs. I mean, I've got stacks and stacks of messages. And sometimes I glance back there like that stack of songbooks right there, and my mind just goes to wondering, all them hours of study, all them hours of reading, all them hours of standing up here swinging my arms and sweating and spitting, and the devil says, hey man, you haven't done any good. But I like to tell the devil tonight, Jesus said his word would not return void. Thank God. Hey man, there's some souls, I don't want to get sidetracked here, there's some souls in heaven tonight, thank God, because of the gospel message that I have preached and you have preached and others have preached. Nobody can quite put a measure on how much good we're doing. Hey, glory to God. Amen. Thank the Lord. And not to keep bringing stuff up. Amen. But Sister Janie, I loved your daddy. I didn't know he had that much confidence in me. Two or three of them down there at the funeral come up to me and said, oh, amen, old Brother Emmett gave me CD after CD. He talked about you all the time. I know Brother Emmett was a great man, but just to think, I didn't know a little bit of seed I scattered right here in Huntington, West Virginia. Amen, was reaching down there, stirring another preacher's heart. Amen, to the effect that he had passed it on to this one and that one. Hey, I come to tell you, church, this word, it's worth spreading. It's worth throwing out there. Hey, glory to God, let it find good ground. Lord, let that seed find good ground to launch in. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, there's treasure in that seed.
Yes.
Amen. Look at the life that's in the seed before the seed falls into the soil. Listen, the soil is void of life. It lies there barren and empty. But when that seed falls into good soil and it begins to germinate, it always brings life, amen, to something that was dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that one time you were dead? Amen. In trespasses and sin. But thank God one day when that gospel seed entered into my heart, Brother Anthony, I said I was dead. I had no way to help myself. But thank God that gospel seed got inside of my heart, and I am what I am by the grace of God. Today it had to be spread into an old dead dry heart, amen, in order that I might live.
Yes.
When a seed germinates, it always transforms the soil into what is sown. It brings forth life and eventually fruit in a place where there was barrenness, in a place where there was death. Amen. Oh yes, that is what makes this gospel message such a treasure. It produces life in a place that formerly was dead. Hey God, and not only is there life in that seed is abundance. Every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential to produce much more seed. Hey God, some many fold, hallelujah. But those of you, amen, who farm have seen this principle action. Listen, you can plant a little old pot of bean, one little bean seed. I find it quite unique. Brother Tommy mentioned Logan Giants this morning. That's my favorite bean. I love half runners. I tell you something about them Logan Giants. Get about as big as you have your finger next to your little finger. I mean huge. Probably longer than that. Great big 9-10 inch beans. Hey God, you know you can plant one little bean in the ground and nourish that plant, and that plant grows up, and that one little bean, if it does good and you nourish it, and it falls on good ground, and you nourish it, and you fertilize it, what's that? Well, I think it's when you get down on your knees, and you begin to pray and seek the Lord, you're fertilizing that seed. Hey God, I think it's when you get your Bible out, and you read that 3.5 chapters a day, so you can get through in a year. Hey, I believe that's fertilizing that good ground. Hey God, and Brother Charlie, you plant you about 8 or 10, 20 good. I found out, hey, you don't plant too many of them Logan Giants too close together, or they choke one another out. You don't need a whole lot of them, because one little bean, Brother Daniel, it'll create a big old vine that'll grow way higher. I mean 6, 8, 10 feet. It'll scatter this way and scatter that way, and you have all kinds of beans, and it come from one little kernel of bean, that size of the tip of your pinky finger. Hey God, I'm so glad that in that seed is abundance. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, and it holds the promise of more. Great God in heaven, I'm not going to hide his word under a bushel. No, I'm going to spread it. Great God, there's stony ground, there's wayward ground, there's thorny ground, but thank God there's still good ground. I said there's good ground, and it's worth casting the seed of the gospel in good ground. Amen.
Oh, I'm going to move on here.
Praise you, Lord.
Let's look at this soil. Verse 4, and when he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. What was the wayside? Well, the wayside was the paths over beside the gardens where everybody walked.
Yeah.
It was a hard, compacted ground. You ever seen an old path? Hey, amen. Where people walk all the time, it becomes so hardened, it's like concrete. That was the wayside. While the farmer was out there sowing his seed, the wind caught a hold of some of it and put it over to the hard, hey, amen, compacted wayside ground. Right. Oh, yeah. Hey, we are told that speaks. Verse number 19, let's go ahead and take our time and get what Jesus said. Amen. And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. They rebel against his word, and they never let it take root. And the enemy comes, the fowls of the air come, and they snatch the seed away. They don't stay awake or alert or pay attention in the house of God like they should. This is important. Sister Dottie said tonight, this is for my life. Hey, I come to tell you, this is for your life. This is very important. Thank God I had a gospel preacher in my life to preach sin and the devil out of my heart. I said this is for your life. You don't want to get hard. You don't want to get stony ground. Hey, and the word of God not be able to flourish because it's not important. And your heart gets hard in this dark hour. matter in their minds, other things needed the attention. Why you sit in church? Glory to God. We ought to put everything else out of our mind. I know we're stressful people. We worry about work. We worry about the bills. We worry about the children. We worry about every little thing. But for 2 hours on a Sunday night, on a Thursday night, and on a Sunday morning, we ought to put everything out of our mind and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go hand in hand into the house of God and drive back the forces of the enemy and esteem His word important in my life. Glory to God. That's why you don't treat the house of God like it's your living room. Hey God, this ain't no place to cut your fingernails. This ain't no place to make your grocery list. This ain't no place to come in half-hearted and take it very lightly and say, well, just as soon as that old preacher hushes up, I gotta run down Kroger's and get this. Oh no, this is the house of God. This is what's gonna save me. This is what's gonna take me to heaven. The word of God. And it's very,
Jesus,
very important to pay attention.
Come on, come on, come on.
Spit your gum out. Amen, and have church.
Yes, God.
Woo!
All right.
Pray God. Glory, glory, glory. I realize funny things happen in church. Hey, I've had some good times in church. People say crazy things. People do crazy things. Let me tell you something. This is still where I love to be. Hey, God. I might say something crazy sometimes. Hey, you might say something. Anybody that says anything, I don't want to get up there and do this or sing or preach or testify. I might say something silly. I've said a lot of things silly. I've stuttered on my words many times. But hey, I get back up here and try it again. You know why? This is important. I need His word. You need His word. Amen. My children need His word. This church needs the word of God.
Praise the Lord.
When needed. And when time is available, somebody said, that's when I'll go down there. I might give God. Amen. When I get in a pinch or get in trouble, get in a hard spot, yeah, I'll go down and listen to the gospel. No, you need to do it when everything's going good.
That's right.
Woo.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
You need to do it when everything's going good.
Thank God.
I'm not saying God always chastises people when things are going bad in your life. It ain't always.
No.
It ain't always God's hand against you, but sometimes it is.
Right.
Sometimes God will burn your barley fields, like we said a couple weeks ago, and He'll get a hold of your attention. Amen.
Right.
I said He'll get a hold of your attention, and He'll wake you up. Let me tell you something. If I ever get my heart hardened, and my heart becomes stony ground, and the gospel can't penetrate it, I pray, Lord, wake me up. Don't let me go to hell. Send a preacher by to warn me and to tell me, Jason, you're getting hard. You're not tender like you used to be. The gospel don't stir you like it one time did. Oh, God, I don't want to have a stony heart. Amen. Oh, don't let your heart get hard.
Come on.
Don't let your heart get hard against God. Let your heart get hard against the preacher. Amen. I may say things you don't like, but I'm on your side. Hey God, I may say things sometimes, amen, and get you upset, but you know what? I'm the watchman on the wall. I'm looking out. I see the enemy. I see how he's turning your heart hard. I see how you're becoming cold. Hey, I see how you don't have a desire for the word of God in your mouth. You don't have a desire to read His word every day. You don't have a desire to get out and pray every day. How do you know that? It shows on you when you walk in them doors and you don't have no spirituality and you don't have no unction of the Holy Ghost in your life. It shows on you.
Come on now.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Yes, God.
Don't let my heart get stony. I got to move on here.
Come on, Brother Jason.
There's a lot more to preach here.
My Lord.
Don't let my heart get stony.
Yeah.
Let's raise our hand right here. This is important.
My Lord.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Lord, don't let my heart get stony. Don't let my heart get hard. Oh, Lord, would you cultivate around the base of my heart? Loosen that soil. Loosen that ground.
Yeah.
Oh, that the Word of God can find a place that it might germinate. That the Word of God can find a place that it might grow.
I praise you, Lord. Holy.
We got to move on here.
Holy.
Compacted soil. Hard.
Holy.
Amen. But exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll get hard if you don't watch out.
Right.
If you don't put God first in your life, you'll get hard.
Come on.
It has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God has to be first place in your life. He can't be second place. He can't be third place. He's got to be first in your life.
Yes. Yes.
I got to move on here. Amen. Verse number 5. Verse number 5, some fell upon stony grounds. Glory to God. Where they had not much earth.
Amen.
Where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth.
Yeah.
And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away.
Sure did.
Verse number 20. Jesus' analogy of this verse. But he that received the seed into the stony place, that same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He first hears that word, and he jumps up. Yeah. Amen. That's me. I want this.
Yeah.
Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. He comes for a little bit. He's on that. He's on that emotional upswing. He's excited. This is something new. I want a part of this.
Yeah.
Amen. For a while, but for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. When the sun comes out, persecution comes. Amen. It withers away.
Right.
In that stony place in Palestine, it was a hard, rocky area. God, it had a lot of limestone with a thin layer of soil. And they would get that seed in there, and the rain would fall and it would pop up. But it didn't have enough earth under it, great God, to be able to persevere when the persecution came. Hey, this kind of soil speaks of the heart. And makes an emotional response. Amen. To the presentation of the gospel. Yes, that's me. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But oh, we need more than just an emotional response. We need to dig down. Amen. And let the gospel change our hearts and change our lives. They are excited. They are active. Amen. They are accepted as the real deal. But because they have no depth. Listen, they have no depth to their real, amen, profession of faith. They fall away just as soon as persecution begins to arise. Let me tell you something, church. If you're going to live for God, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus said they hated me first, so therefore they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They're going to make fun of the way you live. They're going to make fun of the way you dress. They're going to make fun of the way you act. They're going to make fun of the life that you live, the things you do, the things you don't do. Hey, and if you don't really get rooted and grounded, that will uproot you. Hey, amen, and your crop will begin to die. You'll have a crop failure. But hey, Jesus said you got to really get rooted and really get grounded. And when persecution comes, and when mockery comes, when they make fun of you, when they talk about you, you'll be able to stand. But hey, if you're founded on rocky ground, you won't make it.
My Lord, my Lord.